For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number three of the Rob Brown Show starts now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate. Because I am, of course, a man of the people, I will address what Mike is very eager for me to get to. And I respect it. I do.
Well, I mean,
it's an opportunity to dunk a little bit.
You probably should have led the broadcast with this and talked about it many, many times by now. But here we are, nearly at 8:03.
I know.
And you haven't mentioned it once.
Well, that's just because
you're a homer.
I'm a dork with a microphone.
No. You're a homer for the Orange because you're defending them, obviously, or you would have been, you know, right out the gate talking about
obviously. This
travesty.
Obviously. The catastrophe. That was Clemson fans being upset about a call and throwing trash on the
stupidity. Yeah, that. Putting cheerleaders in danger.
Respect to the cheerleaders for running out there and helping to clean up, by the way. That's big of them. I respect that.
And being able to dodge, you know, those water bottles.
Clemson fans very upset about a call made by the officials on the field and start launching trash out onto the pitch. There was a controversial call that was made. And, of course, the conversation about the fourth quarter dispute when water bottles and assorted other trash was thrown out onto the grass delayed the game for a few minutes. The conversation obviously harkened back to the Texas-Georgia game. The Texas-Georgia game. By the way, Emery said, do you pay rent for your mom's basement? For the love of God, get a new joke. The your mom's basement joke is the most exhausted, worthless joke of all time. Not only do I not, my wife and I own a home. We have our own house, Emery. Some of us are big boys.
I'm guessing Potato Head is me.
Yeah, I'm guessing so.
Yeah. Dude, this is melon size. I mean, if you get a potato that size, you could eat on that spud for a while.
Dork man and potato head in the mornings. Welcome to the new show. All right, so obviously the conversation immediately harkened back to the Texas-Georgia game. Texas fans were upset about a call. They began launching refuse out onto the field. And then suddenly the referees turned around and they overturned the call. And Kirby Smart said in the press conference after that game, he said, I'm paraphrasing, but it's pretty close. I fear that we have just set precedent. That if you're real mad about a call, if you throw enough garbage out onto the pitch, that referees may overturn calls. And here's what I'm going to say. I don't care if you're a Texas fan, if you're a Clemson fan, if you're a Saints fan, if you're a Panther fan, if you're a South Carolina fan, if you're a Navy fan, I don't care if you're a Boise State fan or a Montana State fan or a North or South Dakota fan. I don't care. I don't care. If you throw trash onto the field, you're trash. Okay?
Yeah, you
end of conversation.
You shouldn't throw Navy in there because ain't nobody doing that at a Navy game.
By the way, Navy. What are we doing, Navy? We'll come back to that. If you throw trash on the field, you're trash. Okay? And I am going to, as I regularly do.
We got the daggum call wrong. I'm going to try to hit somebody with the water bottle.
For the record, Clemson fans aren't the first fans that have done this, and they won't be the last fans that have done this. Am I going to sit here and go, oh, there it is. See, Clemson fans are trash. No. Was it a trashy moment? Absolutely. It was a trashy moment. And I do place a little bit on it. And for the record, just so we're all very clear, the replay in the Georgia-Texas game that got overturned got correctly overturned. The ruling was correct. The ruling on the field was wrong. The Texas fans who were upset were justified in their upsettedness. They were correct. It was a wrong call, and it got overturned correctly. The unfortunate part was it was the wrong call that got overturned correctly after fans acted the way that they acted. And so the precedent that Kirby Smart was talking about was that the fans were led to believe in that moment that it was their display of anger, disappointment, whatever, that got the call overturned, that got the call placed in the right direction. They felt like they were responsible for getting their team into a better spot. And what Kirby was afraid of, was that more fans would now believe that if they stopped the game that way, that they could get their team placed into a better position. And that's not how it works. That play was not overturned because Texas fans threw garbage onto the field. That play got overturned because it went to instant replay and it was very clear and obvious that the play needed to be overturned. Selfishly, what I want to make this conversation about is could have been avoided if you just had a replay official who went, "Hey, Bob, wrong call. Go ahead and overturn that." And Bob, the head ref, went, "You got it." Tweet. After video replay initiated by the replay box, the penalty on the field has been overturned. First down, Texas. Right? All of this could have been avoided if we just had replay refs. What I will say is Kirby was right for the wrong reason. And I think Clemson fans just happened to be the first team that bought into that. But just so that we are very clear, if you throw trash onto the field where there are players and referees, and I'm not going to say more or less importantly, but more in the way, cheerleaders and band nerds and state troopers and paramedics and all these people, media members, all of these people who are innocent of the action on the field, disconnected from the action on the field. They are just people out there doing whatever their responsibility is, cheerleading, taking pictures, preparing should a player be injured, etc., etc. Whatever the reasoning is, you put those people in danger. And you put those people in danger for no good reason at all. Kirby was right for the wrong reason. The Texas fans didn't get that replay overturned. Now, you can argue that, and I don't know that this is true or not. I have not found out this or not. It could be argued that the replay was only looked at because Texas fans stopped the play on the field by hurling themselves. I mean garbage out onto the grass. You can make that argument. And I don't know if that argument is true or not, and I don't want to speculate. I'm saying that's the only argument that you could justify. But I don't think that we need to have some big, deep, introspective conversation. And we're going to. This conversation is going to happen on radio and television shows around the country today. I don't think we need to have some big, introspective conversation about the results and ramifications of the Georgia-Texas game and whether or not fans are now justified or not justified to throw trash because the referees did this and the coaches did this and the result was this and the penalty was this and the overturn. No. Don't throw trash on the field. Don't throw trash on the field. I've had this conversation with friends of mine who are parents. And even Rob, Liber Rob the Woke Warrior, has frequently told friends of mine, you don't have to justify your parenting decisions to your six-year-old child. Sometimes it is perfectly acceptable to just say, because I said so. End of discussion, small child. Because I said so. That's why. Now, do I believe that it is a good... I'm not a parent, so take this as you will or completely throw it away. I don't particularly care. Is it a good idea at times to explain to your ute, to your spawn, why you say no to the thing that they really want? Yeah. Because it helps them develop an innate understanding of the world and logic and critical thinking. No, you can't have the chocolate right now. And you can't have the chocolate right now because. Now, in the moment when you're in the grocery store checkout line and they're throwing that Snickers bar up onto the little moving conveyor belt thing and you say no and they say why and you say because I said so. In that moment, that's a perfectly reasonable response. It is fine to circle back around later and say, can't have the chocolate bar because I don't have extra money to pay for it. You've already had too many calories today and we got too many fat children running around right now. Whatever your response might be, okay? It's fine to explain. But in the moment, sometimes you just got to go, because I said so. In this moment, college football needs to have a because I said so moment with fans. Listen and hear me well, college football fans. If you throw trash onto the football field, you are ejected from the stadium and you will not be coming back. You will be banned from this stadium. You are creating a detrimental and unsafe environment for everyone down there on the field. There is no why. There is no conversation. There is no discussion. It doesn't matter who you're a fan of, and it doesn't matter where you are. We have, and we know this, thousands of video cameras around every stadium. I am talking from D2 up to the NFL. There are thousands of cameras, everything from high-tier professional television broadcast cameras down to Jim in section 303 that's got his cell phone out filming fans throwing trash onto the field. Because you know, as soon as somebody launches water bottle numero uno, there are going to be folks that are grabbing the camera and pointing it at that person and going, oh, that guy just threw a water bottle, and waiting for the next guy to do it. It's real simple. Find the footage, find the people who did it, boot their ass from the stadium, and put them on the banned list. This isn't something we need to have. You're going to hear it today. You're going to hear it today. You're going to have a gazillion people out there that are going, well, you know, how does this reflect on the Georgia-Texas game? And, you know, the referees overturn the call, and if they overturn the call, aren't you conditioning the fan? I don't care about any of that. Some of the most harsh discipline I received as a child was when my old man would sit down and look me in the face and say to me, I don't need to explain to you what you did wrong because you know better. You know better. You know better. You know the actions you took. You know why they're detrimental. You know why they are bad. I don't have to tell you. College football fans know that this is unacceptable. It's been unacceptable always, always and forever. At the beginning of every football game, the PA guy grabs the mic and he says,
please do not throw any items onto the field of play. Anyone caught throwing items onto the field of play will be removed and banned from the...
Do that. Clemson should be right now in the office of the athletic department looking at television broadcast cameras, looking at social media platforms from fan records, whatever. Looking at every social media camera that they have on their marketing team. And they should be going frame by frame to see every time somebody launches trash onto the field. And every one of those people should receive an email today that says you are no longer welcome in stadiums, and make an example. And if they won't make an example, this is a spot where, you know, the NCAA doesn't get the opportunity to flex muscles very often, right? This is where the SEC or the NCAA doesn't have a ton of opportunity to prove that, hey, we're not just a toothless, feckless organization. We're not just a bunch of dudes in suits who are here to collect a paycheck and wait for our inevitable demise when the SEC and the Big Ten join forces and make us irrelevant. We can do some stuff. This is a great chance. The NCAA and the conferences themselves need to bring the hammer down and go, no. You get caught throwing something onto the field, you are done. You will not be supporting your football team in person anymore. It's real simple. Just can't have it. There's no need for a deep philosophical conversation. The NCAA and the conference can look fans in the face and go, you're gone because I said so. End of discussion. End of conversation. Also, the end of the segment. John Blau from the Post and Courier talks Clemson football at 8:40. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast at 9 a.m. All coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're going to talk to John Blau of the Post and Courier about this Clemson game coming up in the next segment. So I'll spend another minute or two on it right here. Clemson got outcoached. Hands down, not a question, statement of fact. They just got outright, flat out, top to bottom, outcoached. Got a couple of texts, by the way. Got a couple of texts that have come in saying how, you know, from Clemson fans, I'm more embarrassed by the trash than the game. Yeah, and that's good. It's commendable. You should be. It's one thing to have your team play bad football. It's another thing to have your fans just look bad on national television. And that's what happened. But let's dial in. Let's focus in on the game. Clemson got flat out and entirely outcoached in this one. And that's one thing. Do you remember, just so I can prove that I keep it a buck when it needs to be kept a buck, do you remember when South Carolina, a few weeks ago, got absolutely hammered by Ole Miss? If you do, I think what you will likely remember is what I was the most upset about. It wasn't the loss. The loss happens, okay? The losses in the SEC especially are going to happen. There are very few teams that are making the undefeated run. What I was most upset about in that game was the fact that the South Carolina Gamecocks were coming off of the bye week, and the game plan was bad. Was bad and was poorly executed. Yeah, I was mad about the discipline of the team. I can't have my guys out there pretending like they're emptying a clip out of an AK into a quarterback after they sack him. You got to know that's 15. I was disappointed in the execution across the offensive line in that game. It was bad. I can't have that. I was mad about the discipline. But at the end of the day, the football players doing football player things, especially as a young team, being jacked up, being excited, being ready to go in those moments, I think I can work on that. I can go in the film room and I can replay Dylan Stewart's gun celebration and I can go, you guys think this is fun? You guys think this is football? Because that was 15 yards in a game where we were getting our asses kicked. We good with that? You guys good with that? And I feel like that'll stick. I can work on that. Discipline is something that can be instilled. What I can't do anything about, at least not that I jump out at, there is only one person who can fix something that plagued South Carolina coming off their bye with Ole Miss, and now Clemson coming off of their bye headed into that game against Louisville. The only thing that, or the only person who can fix it, was Shane Beamer and Dabo Swinney, the head coach. When you come off a bye, especially in this case, and we'll just use this one for right now because this is, well, what we're talking about. When you come off a bye and you've got Louisville right there, what you can't have, and this was our concern, our fear going into this week, what I can't have is a Clemson team that's looking ahead to going up to Blacksburg and playing in one of the most difficult college football stadiums to play in, Lane Stadium in Blacksburg, West Virginia. Blacksburg, Virginia. What I certainly can't have is have this team look in two games ahead to the only remaining ranked team on the regular season schedule, the number 19 Pitt Panthers. I can't have them looking that far ahead. I got to have you dialed in for Louisville. And if you're dialed in for Louisville, I need you to have a game. I need you to have a game plan. I need you to know what you want to do to come in and attack this team, this defense, whatever. And Clemson didn't just get beat. And they got beat. They got beat at the line of scrimmage. That's why Louisville ran for 200 yards. They got beat in their own backfield. The defensive line was whipping with a capital WH, the Clemson offensive line. It put Cade Klubnik on his back feet. He got the happy feet. He started slicing and dicing old school Peyton Manning style, but without the Peyton Manning accuracy. And he fell apart. And that's off the bye. The folks that have been for the past year and a half or two questioning Dabo Swinney, as far as I am concerned, those criticisms are now very valid. Now, this is why I said, I think both South Carolina and Clemson got program-defining results this weekend. Now, again, we won't know that for certain until we see Clemson change, break the narrative about them this week. And South Carolina continue the narrative that they wrote last weekend. Here's the thing about Clemson. The narrative has been the narrative for 2-3 seasons in a row now. The narrative has been Dabo's reluctance, I won't say outright refusal, but reluctance to use the transfer portal, his reluctance to buy into name, image, and likeness funding, his reluctance to participate in 2024 college football, I believe has caught up with him now. Because you don't have the dogs. And, you know, there are times where if two teams come in and both of them have a great game plan and they're both executing and things are great, the team that has the better athletes is going to win. And if a team has two or three or four levels better athletes, as Clemson has had for a number of years now, if they have athletes that just on paper are clearly better than the other team, they should be able to win football games, even if the game plan's not going great. But not only do you not have that anymore, and it is evident, you have a good team, but your team is not standing out like the 2018 Clemson Tigers did. Yeah, good team. And you come into a game like this with a bad game plan, you're not going to win like you used to. Those days are gone at this point. But it's not just that you came in with a bad game plan. It's that you came in with a bad game plan against a team that had a very good game plan. And you did it coming off the bye week. There's no excuse for a coaching staff on the level of Clemson's to come out of a bye week and look bad. And the reason I say that is because I said the same thing about South Carolina 4 weeks ago or whatever it was. There, if you want to be a genuine SEC contender, and I think South Carolina's pointed in that direction. I do. I'm optimistic. But if you want to be a genuine contender, you cannot come off of the bye week without a game plan, or with a bad game plan. You can't do it. And in watching that game on Saturday, everything Clemson wanted to do, Louisville was prepared for, responded to, and prevented you from doing it. And then you add that onto the fact that in a spot where Clemson could go for two, and if they are successful, create a game where they only need a touchdown and a field goal, but instead elect to kick the extra point, which is effectively meaningless Because whether you successfully kick the PAT or not, you are either down 12 or 13. Either way, you need two touchdowns. That's it. You have to have it. So when I have a bad overall game plan and my guys are not executing and I'm making elementary level coaching mistakes like Dabo did. And again, I don't mean to repeatedly bang the drum on Dabo Swinney, but at the end of the day, he's a head coach. Everything that happens on the field, he is responsible for. So even if somebody else ran out there and grabbed the kicker and said, get out there and kick the ball, the fact that it was kicked is on him. So I had a poor game plan coming off the bye week and then compounded it with a group of players that clearly were not ready for this game and then compounded that with elementary level mistakes on the coaching horn. That's program defining. Because what can I point at and go, that went well? Your fans look bad. Your coaching staff look bad. Your game plan look bad. Your players look bad. These are the things that begin the slide down. And I am now very concerned that the slide down for Clemson is real. John Blau with the Post and Courier joins us next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate Saturday night in Clemson, South Carolina. The Clemson Tigers fall to the Louisville Cardinals, 33-21. Your final score in this one. To break down what went wrong, he joins us every Monday morning at 8:40 a.m. to talk Clemson sports. John Blau covers the Tigers for the Post and Courier, makes his weekly appearance here on the show. John, my man, happy Monday morning. I'm sure it's not super happy around Clemson, South Carolina, but that's the way the ball bounces sometimes.
Yeah, that's why we cover sports, because you never know what's going to happen. Sometimes it's good for you, sometimes it's bad for you if you're a fan. So, but yeah, not a great day for Clemson, but still sort of in the ACC race. Things just not in their control anymore.
Yeah, without a doubt. John Blau from the Post and Courier here on the Rob Brown Show. Let's start with the 30,000 foot view, John Blau. If I asked you to tell me a few things that you think primarily went wrong that caused this shocking L, and I think that's a fair word to use for the Clemson Tigers, what would you say were a few of the primary reasons?
Yeah, I would say number one, just the inability to stop the run. I mean, you give up 210 yards on the ground. Isaac Brown's a really good player for Louisville, but just to allow him to kind of rumble the way he did, Louisville being 6.2 yards per play, just being way more explosive than you, and then just offensively just, never really picking up momentum until the very end of the game. I mean, I just go back to, there was a 3rd and 8. They were, Clemson was up 7-3. Antonio Williams was open across the middle of the field. Kay Klubnik, for some reason, seemed to be keying on Bryant Wesco underneath of him, who really wasn't open. Ball gets deflected at the line of scrimmage. Tristan Lee catches a 9-yard loss, and then you have to punt the ball. You easily could have gotten a first down. You're charging down the field, maybe get a touchdown lead if you kick a field goal. Maybe you're up 14-3, and then that Clemson kind of gains confidence and momentum. That just never really happened for the offense till the very end of the game. So, if Louisville's more explosive than you and they're running the ball on you and you're offensively not making the simple plays to be able to kind of move the ball down the field and gain some momentum, then that's a really kind of a disastrous combination.
John Blau from the Post and Courier joining us here on the Rob Brown Show. We've attacked the play of Cade Klubnik, 33 of 56, 228 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions. I'm hesitant to say that the outside looking in Heisman Trophy campaign has come to its conclusion, John. And the reason I say that is offensive line was just getting beat at the point of attack. Phil Moffa was probably the one bright spot, 171 yards in this contest, but it felt like Louisville defensively up front was doing whatever they wanted, and it kind of created a world where Cade Klubnik was spending as much time running for his life as he was being able to sit down, diagnose a play, and get rid of the football. And for me, offensively, I understand the run game was working for Clemson, but it wasn't doing enough to give Cade the time to sit down and let plays develop.
Yeah, early in the game it wasn't. I mean, a lot of those yards offensively were Clemson came at the very end of the game when it seemed like there was just kind of an urgency there. I don't know what changed that they were able to kind of make some of those drives. But, yeah, for the most part, we talk about this a lot with Cade. I mean, a lot of his success this year is the pieces around him, the offensive line being better, the running game being good, having more receiving options. And, yeah, he did not look as comfortable in this game because Louisville, that's probably the best pass rush anybody's gotten on Klubnik all year. He just did not look comfortable at times. And like you said, running around a lot. There were some drops. I mean, the run game wasn't really picking up huge chunks. It just wasn't really great around him either for that, for most of the game. He definitely, again, made some mistakes. I go back to that 3rd and 8. If he kind of makes the right read there, he gets the ball to Antonio Williams, and maybe things change a little bit. But at the same time, it was not the offensive line's best game. It was not the most comfortable he's been. And, receivers-wise, I mean, I'm not keying on that the entire game, but it didn't look like there were a ton of guys running wide, wide open that he missed either. So I wouldn't say, this game's all on Cade. It wasn't his best game, but I think it just really wasn't the offense's best game in general for Clemson.
We talked a little bit about this in the last segment, John Blau. The discussion is inevitably, call the shot, not going to shock anybody, going to revolve back to, oh, this is because of Dabo in the portal. This is because they just don't have rosters with as much talent like they used to back in the day. When this conversation takes over the sports media landscape today, and I believe that it will, what's the response to that going to be, do you think, from Clemson, from Dabo, if they humor it at all?
Yeah, I don't think he'll humor it much at all. But, I mean, it is kind of weird to think, a week ago, I think it was Matt Berry from ESPN was on with Paul Feinbaum. And obviously, Paul Feinbaum, famous kind of critic of Dabo Swinney in these last few years. And they were talking about, Matt Berry was, about how this, portal strategy from Dabo might end up being quote-unquote victorious. And it felt like the narrative was really changing all of a sudden. It was kind of crazy. And then, obviously, yeah, they lose a game like this, and the narrative will kind of go back to what it was. There are quibbles to be had. I mean, you can obviously criticize and say maybe there are spots here and there where an upgrade could have helped. I mean, you look at kind of obviously Peter Woods got hurt in the middle of the game, but if you have more depth at defensive end, you're getting more pressure on Tyler Shuck. Is that game a little bit different? Obviously, you can't stop the run against Louisville. That's kind of weird to see from a Clemson team. There are some areas where you kind of look at it and say, yeah, there would be some wisdom if there were a couple of ads here or there, or if there just weren't a couple of recruiting misses here or there. But, when you don't use the portal, you're kind of reducing your margin for error there in terms of recruiting. But the criticism is valid to a degree, but is it the reason they lost Louisville? Is it the reason they might miss the playoff again? I don't know if it's the sole reason. Again, recruiting misses, maybe NIL in terms of the money being there to get some of these guys in the transfer portal. I think there's a lot of reasons, and I think Dabo Swinney feels like he's doing the best thing for his program. And, have they fallen off from where they were? Yeah, they're not, where they were in terms of the top 3 or 4 programs in college football right now, but they are still in the top 25. They still are a pretty good program. So, the criticism is valid, but to what degree, I guess, is the question.
The question about legacy, obviously, I think comes next. I mean, we've had the conversation plenty of times. Dabo Swinney, Clemson lifer. I mean, the guy made the program into what it is. But John Blau, I don't know how you see it. And again, a lot of this interview is kind of opinion subjective from me. Saturday night when I got on social media, and we all know what social media is, man, cesspool for the worst and loudest fans to get their attention. But it was the first time that I saw a lot of this isn't good enough post from Clemson fans that ordinarily, at least in my timeline, in my circle, are the ones that go out of their way to either defend Dabo or at least kind of block the criticism a little bit. And there really wasn't a whole lot of this going on. Based on your interaction with fans, the social media landscape at all, do you kind of feel like the mentality is shifting around this program that, okay, now we've hit the low of where we are accepting this program being, or am I making too much of it?
I mean, that's an interesting question. Obviously, in terms of panic that I've seen over the last several years, I don't know if this is the worst. I mean, I remember the Duke game, the loss to Duke. It was pretty bad after that, starting 4-4, 4-3 start in 2021, right after the playoff run. I mean, there have been different points where everybody's been a little panicked. I do think maybe this one is just kind of the straw that broke the camel's back in terms of, yeah, this might just be where Clemson is. Where you expected them to beat a Louisville and they were gaining all this momentum offensively and all that. Maybe this just is where they are. But at the same time, I mean, people don't remember going back into the playoff era. You know, Clemson lost at home to Pittsburgh and then went on that 40-game home winning streak. They lose games periodically. This is football. These are human beings. I just think there's been there's been a layering of this for so many years now where people are starting to kind of maybe feel like this just is what it is. I guess I'm not quite ready to go there, you know, trying to be more, you know, like say 30,000 feet objective about it. It's still a young football team. They're going to bring a lot of players back next year. They still have a lot of talent. They can still make the ACC title game. It's not completely over. But at the same time, I do understand just with everything that's happened over the years, kind of why people feel the way they feel. And a loss at home, a place where Clemson rarely ever lost, and you know, never lost night games, never lost home games after byes. I mean, doing things they don't normally do. I do understand why this one felt pretty bad for people and why they're kind of, you know, getting to that place of maybe doubt in Dabo Swinney and the program and a little cynicism there.
The big thing that took place, at least on the television broadcast of this game, John Blau, was not once but twice Dabo sends out the extra point team instead of going for two to make it an 11-point game. Both extra points leave it at a 12-point game. Obviously need two touchdowns, whereas an 11-point game, touchdown, two-pointer, and the field goal would have tied that game up. Was there any explanation from Dabo Swinney or any of the coaching staff about why that decision got made? Because they were getting roughed up pretty good by the play-by-play guys who, you know, jobs to be objective, they certainly in that spot weren't. Was there an explanation as to why Clemson went for the extra points in those two touchdowns late in the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think he said that their sheet told them to do that. I mean, that they have a sheet that tells them, you know, in what situations you go for two and which you go for one. They kind of had that pre-charted out, and I think they just had it charted out that you go for one for whatever reason. I don't remember the exact explanation. It was really, I understand it was a big thing they talked about in the broadcast, but it wasn't the thing that I think most of us were thinking about after the game. I know it was asked about, but yeah, just their math for whatever reason told them that was the best thing to do. Maybe you can second guess them there. Maybe they should have went for two. At the end of the day, they needed a couple more scores anyway to win the game, and they didn't get those couple scores. So I get why people were questioning it, but you know, don't really have a great explanation other than just that's what Dabo Swinney said the chart told them to do.
John Blau from the Post and Courier joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Spent a little bit more time on this week's game than next than we usually do, but this team on the road at Virginia Tech, we all know that's a tough place to play. Good news for Clemson is slated as a 3:30 game, not a nighttime game out in Blacksburg. John Blau, just give me your overall thoughts on this game at Virginia Tech. Is there a bounce back in store for Clemson here?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question, I guess, TBD. But, you know, this is a Virginia Tech team, just lost to Syracuse. I mean, they were kind of an enigma in terms of, you know, they had a kind of a weird slow start to the year, started to heat up a little bit. And again, like I said, lost to Syracuse. And, you know, it's kind of hard to read kind of where they're going to be at. It is in Blacksburg. That's a tough environment. But like you said, also just, you know, not at night. It's kind of that midday kind of game. You know, maybe that plays in their favor. I would think, you know, Clemson at least is going to be, you know, pretty pissed off after what happened. I mean, I would think they're pretty motivated. You would think this, again, is a team that's still young, but it has enough guys that have been around and have in the past helped steady things after some devastating losses. You would think that Clemson responds and has a better game. But, remains to be seen. You never know. I mean, I think back 2 years ago, Clemson finished the year 3-3. After that great start, I don't think that happens this year, but you never know, so we just have to wait and see.
John Blau covers the Clemson Tigers for the Post and Courier, joins us every single Monday at 8:40. My man, I appreciate it. I know it's going to be a busy week for you getting ready for Virginia Tech after that L, but we appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you next week, my man.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rob.
You got it. John Blau from the Post and Courier every Monday morning at 8:40. When we come back here in just a minute, I'm not going to take any medicine about the Saints' loss to the Carolina Panthers because I didn't say a damn word last week. Not a one. Because I knew this was going to happen. All right? I knew this was going to happen. So Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast will stop by in the next segment. And he's going to do his best to try to bait me into it, to try to get into my fee-fees a little bit. And it's not going to work, Rashad. It's not going to work. Rashad Beard, after Lonzo seduces you with this sports flash.
All he's got to do is say scoreboard. The Carolina Panthers picked up win number 2 on the season in a divisional matchup with the New Orleans Saints yesterday. 23-22, Chuba Hubbard scored the game-winning touchdown with just minutes left to play. And the defense killed a Saints drive late to finish the contest. Bryce Young finished the game 16-26 for 171 yards, one touchdown and one interception. Carolina travels to Germany to face the Giants Sunday morning. University of South Carolina was fined $250,000 by the Southeastern Conference after fans stormed the field following the Gamecocks' 44-20 win over number 10 Texas A&M and Williams-Brice Stadium. The school was fined for its second violation under the policy. Make sure you tune in tonight at 6:30 as Furman Paladins take on the Columbia International Rams in hard court action. It's Furman versus CIU right here on your home for Paladins basketball. It's us. It's the Fan. Upstate.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.